Let's look this morning at Job chapter number 9. In Job chapter number 9. And I want you to look with me there at verse number 10. Job chapter 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says there, is it referring to God? If we'd read the chapter, it's referring to God. And it says about him, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Notice verse 11, very interesting. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Think about that. How could a force as big and great and awesome as God pass us by and us not realize it? How could God have come near our presence and us just not know it, not feel it, not sense it, not have been spoken to by God or spoken to him or listened to him? When I read those verses in my devotions, I thought of an old hymn in our psalm book, number 281. It says this, Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. When I thought about these verses, I thought about how tragic it is that sometimes God could be passing by. God's presence could be somewhere. God's Holy Spirit could be meeting with us in this room for a church service. And he's wanting to work in every one of our hearts and wanting to work in every one of our lives. But somehow he just passes us by and he's not dealt with us. He's not spoken to us. Or maybe it's that we've not been listening to him. Or maybe it's that, you know, we've not been sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God as he's trying to speak to you. As he's trying to speak to me, as he's trying to work in us. And when I read these verses in my devotions back early in January, I started to sing this song and think about this song and thought, God, please don't pass me by without speaking to me. God, please don't pass me by without doing something in my heart, doing something in my life. God, I wouldn't want you in your greatness and in your power and your ability to work and change and help and comfort me and strengthen me. I wouldn't want you to just pass by in my life and me not know your presence and me not know your power and me not know your help in my life. Me not listen to you. I encourage you when you read your Bible, when God's trying to speak to you, make sure you're listening to him. When you come to a church service and the Spirit of God would like to work in your heart and would like to work in your spirit and would like to speak to you about things, don't let God just pass you by and you not have heard him. You not have realized that God was in your presence or you were in the presence of God. You not have listened or you not have heard God speak to you. You say, Pastor, why in the world are you sharing with us some of these things that you got in your personal devotions? I think one of the reasons why God put it on my heart to do this was because I want you as well to learn that when you read your Bible and you do your devotions, God should be speaking to you. I've shared with you in these recent weeks some of those things where as I read my Bible and as I meditated on the Scriptures and I thought about the Scriptures, I didn't just do my devotions and check off the box on the calendar. I'm not just going through and trying to, well, I'm going to read my Bible through, and so I'm going to check off a box, and I've done it, and I've read my Bible, and I've read, and I read my Bible through. But God not have spoken to me. Me not have spoken to God. I fear for my own family. I fear for some of you. Then maybe you could even set a noble goal. If I'm going to read my Bible through this year, but all it becomes to you is just a piece of paper. All it becomes to you is a calendar. All it becomes is a checking off of the boxes of, oh, I read my Bible through. If all you do is read your Bible through, what is the holy, precious Word of God, divinely inspired by God, written by God, given to us through holy men? But as God guided their hands and God told them what to write down, God's Spirit told them what to write down, for you to have the Word of God, for you to be a saved, born again person and having the Holy Spirit of God living in you, but to you to maybe do devotions, and you've done devotions for several weeks, you read your Bible through this year, but somehow God is just passing you by. Somehow God is not speaking into you. Somehow you've not felt like and realized that, man, I've been in the presence of God. That would be tragic to me. I don't want your doing your devotions to just be, well, I read my Bible, but God never spoke to me. I'll try to ask my kids sometimes, and they might make faces at me at times when I ask the question. Well, okay, so what did God speak to you about this morning? What did you get out of your Bible reading? I long for it to be more than just them telling me, well, this is what I read about. Or this was what the story was about. Or this is what that particular chapters of the Bible was about. I long for them to know, and I long for you to know, that when you do devotions, when you get into your Bible, when you come to church, you've been in the presence of God, and God's Holy Spirit doesn't just pass you by, and He moves up to maybe my room where I read the Bible, or He moves over to somebody else's room where they were reading the Bible, and He speaks to them, and He works in their heart, and He stirs their heart, and He convicts them, and challenges them, and comforts them, and encourages them. I want when God comes to you, when you're reading your Bible on your living room couch or in your office or wherever you will read your Bible, or when you come and sit in a church service, I don't want God just to pass you by and you've not listened to God and you feel like God's not spoken. God is always wanting to speak to you and to me. God's Spirit is always wanting to work in us. God's Spirit is always wanting to take this Word, God's Word, Holy Word, and use it to do something in your heart. To comfort you, to encourage you, to convict you, to challenge you. Listen, it ought to be when you read your Bible or when you come to church that there's something there that, boy, God didn't pass me by, but God spoke to me today. God helped me today. When you read your Bible, when you do your devotions, it ought to be that sometimes your reading of the Bible, your reading of God's Word, sometimes it makes you sing. Sometimes it makes you pray. I mean, not that you had a prayer time and then you read your Bible, or you read over a prayer list and then you read your Bible, but I mean that sometimes your reading of the Scriptures, it just leads you into prayer because of something that you read. And of God's Holy Spirit working in your spirit. Breaking in your heart. If you can sit through church services week after week after week after week, or you can even read your Bible or do your devotions at home, and it's been that God's not spoken to you, then something's wrong there. Listen, we need to be sensitive where we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God as He's trying to work in us, as He's trying to convict us, as He's trying to speak to our hearts, and God's Spirit is trying to commune with our spirit as God's Word is trying to work in us and change us. I want God speaking to you. I want you to be listening to God. Certainly there's passages of Scripture where you ought to read it and it ought to encourage you. It ought to make you rejoice. It ought to make you just from your heart want to begin thanking God for things or praising God for things. There ought to be places where you read in Scriptures where God's powerful Word, the living Word of God, and God's Spirit working in your spirit begins to convict you, where you then have to spend time in prayer where you're telling God some things about your own heart, about your own life. Where maybe you're confessing some sin to God, when you're admitting your weakness to God, when you're realizing your dependency and your need for God. When you're broken over your sin and realizing it's God's grace and mercy that I need. Don't let someone pass you by and you not have realized you were in the presence of God. Don't let God's Holy Spirit pass you by and speak to that person in another seat. And you always feel like, oh, he didn't speak to me. Listen, the problem is not always up here. I guarantee you there can be plenty of better preachers and orators. But God can take us, simple people, a farm boy and a Louisiana hillbilly, if there's such a thing. And God's Word should be speaking to us. Why? Because God's Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. If you can sit through our Sunday school lessons and it's just in one ear and out the other and God's not speaking to you and God's not been doing something in you, then something's wrong. You can read your Bible and it's just reading, it's just checking off the box and God's not spoken to you, then there's something wrong in your heart. There's something wrong in your spirit. There's something about your attitude, something about your life, something in your heart where you've not been listening to God. Don't let God just pass you by. Don't let another day go by where you read your Bible and it's just Bible reading and God's Holy Spirit doesn't work in you. God's Spirit wants to work in you. And God's Spirit wants to work in me. And He wants to work on you on Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1:01. God's Spirit wants to work in you on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. But can I tell you something else? God's Spirit wants to work on you on a Monday morning at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whenever you'll read your Bible. God's Spirit wants to work in you on a Monday evening when you maybe open your Bible to read it before you go to bed. Don't let God's Spirit, just pass you by and you not have realized I was in His presence. God passed by here. God met with me in my living room this morning when I read my Bible, or God met with me in my office, or God met with me, you know, wherever it is where you will sit and read your Bible. Wherever it is, whatever seat you sit in at church. You wonder sometimes, well, why is God speaking to them? Why are they responding? Why are they changing? Why do they love this? Well, maybe they've been listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe there's some sin that's been hindering you. Maybe there's some hardness of heart that's been hindering God from working. Maybe there's just been a selfish going of own way in life and not listening to God, not really all that interested or concerned. Maybe even sometimes there's someone missing that wants to live in you. Only you would know that, and God. If you can live life and God's Spirit is not ever working in your spirit to convict you or challenge you or stir you or comfort you or encourage you or change you, then either you're not listening to Him or God's Spirit's not living in you. You would need to make sure. You need to know God. We've been talking in our Sunday school lessons. Listen, the Christian life is not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about a religion of you trying hard to do these things. It's not about a list of rules. It's not about your attempts at climbing a ladder to do things to please God or please the pastor or please somebody else or please your parents. Hey, Christianity is supposed to be about you having a relationship with God. You're adopted into His family if you've been saved, if you've been born again. You're a child of God. You have a heavenly Father. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And He wants to speak to you. He wants to meet with you. He's wanting to spend time with you every day. And if you don't have that, something's missing or something's wrong. Let me share with you another thought this morning. Go back to Job chapter 9 and verse number 4. Job chapter 9 and verse 4. I know these are very unorthodox, and I know these some of the messages have a bit more clear and pointed, and today's thoughts that I want to share with you are just going to be kind of two or three different things. But again, I want you to see that God wants to speak to you in your devotions. I wish some of you could come to me next Sunday and say, boy, I read my Bible this week, but I read my Bible more slowly. I read my Bible more carefully. I read my Bible asking God's Holy Spirit to speak to me, and I was listening to Him, and He did speak to me. I didn't just read my Bible this week, but God spoke to me this week. Here's something that God challenged me with, or here's something that God encouraged me about, or here's something that God convicted me about. Here's something that just made me want to praise and thank the Lord. Here's something that made me want to break out into singing one morning. Here's something that just made me want to get right with God one day. Here's something that just made me realize how much I need God. I want God to speak to you somehow when you read your Bible. In Job chapter 9 and verse 4, I was talking about our God, and it says, He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened Himself against Him and prospered. I read that verse, and that verse convicts me. That verse challenges me. Right? God is wise, and God is mighty in heart, and I know that everything God wants to do in my life is for my good. The Bible tells us that if we harden ourselves against Him, we will not prosper. And in this case, it asks it as a question. Who is it? Has there ever been someone who's been able to harden their heart against God? They've been resisting God and stubborn against God. They've hardened their heart against the Spirit of God. They're not listening to Him. They're resisting God. And God has made them to prosper? The answer is a definite no. There's never been somebody like that. Because may I say this morning in this thought, in this convicting thought, you will not harden your heart against God and prosper. Teenager, you will not harden your heart against your parents. And because you know something? When you harden your heart against authorities, you're hardening your heart against God, the ultimate authority. You will not harden your heart against your parents. You will not, Christian, harden your heart against your pastor. You will not harden your heart against God or God's word and God make you to prosper. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 28, the book of Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 14. Proverbs 28 verse 14, the Bible says, happy is the man. And sometimes in the scriptures, the word happy has kind of a dual meaning in the sense of, yes, it'll make you happy. Yes, it'll make you joyful. But sometimes there's also the idea of being blessed and blessed. Sometimes the idea of being happy and having got joy and so on. But listen, happy is the man that feareth always, feareth the Lord always. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Fall into mischief. Proverbs 28:14. Listen, life is never good for a person if they'll harden their heart against God. If you want your life to be happy, if you want your life to be blessed by God, if you want your life to be prospered by God, then don't harden yourself against Him. Sometimes you harden yourself because you maybe hear something from the Word of God and you think, I don't like that. Listen, the Word of God is not ours to go and pick and choose. Well, I like that, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that. Don't harden your heart against Him. Don't harden your heart against God's Word. Don't harden your heart against spiritual influences in your life. Don't harden your heart against the authorities that God places in your heart, in your life, sorry. Don't harden your heart, young person, against your parents. Don't ever harden your heart, let your heart get hard against maybe your preacher. Don't let your heart get hard to the Word of God. You know, it's possible. The Bible teaches us about even having seared consciences. Or we stop being even convicted by things. We get to the place of being past feeling. What happens to the person that gets seared? What happens to the person that gets badly burned with an iron? They would stop having feeling in that spot. What happens to the person that gets a seared conscience? Their heart gets hardened. They can become to a place of being past feeling. They stop feeling it when God's Spirit's trying to work in their life. They stop feeling it when God's Holy Spirit's trying to convict them about something. They stop feeling it when somebody's even sometimes maybe trying to show love in their life, but they're just past feeling. They've hardened their heart, hardened their mind, hardened their spirit. God's Holy Spirit has a tough time working in a spirit that's hard. Because we're resisting Him. We can close off our spirit. We can close our spirit towards God's Spirit. We can close our spirit towards our parents. We can close our spirits towards the preaching of God's Word. To the point that it's hard for us to feel anything. Listen, don't let your heart become hard. Don't let your spirit become hard. Or you will not prosper. You will not prosper. Who hath hardened his heart against Him and prospered? Nobody. Nobody. You think, I'll be okay. You will not be prospered by God. God will not bless you if you harden your heart against Him. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Do you know the reproofs of life are actually meant to help you? Now, what does the Bible teach us over in the book of Timothy? That the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, the Word of God, sometimes it gives us doctrine. It teaches us what is right. Sometimes the Word of God brings reproof to us. It maybe shows us something that's wrong. The Bible in James chapter 1 compares itself to being like a mirror. You know, that when we look into the mirror of God's Word, it shows us our reflection, and we're to be honest with what we see in our lives. And now it's going to show us things where there's faults. It shows us things that need to be straightened out, things that need to be corrected. Some of you looked in the mirror this morning and some of you didn't. That's what we can tell, right? Some of you looked in the mirror this morning and figured, I better comb my hair. I better brush my teeth. I better wash my face because I look half dead this morning. That's me in the morning. I need a shower every morning. I could never take a shower just at night. I've got to have a shower in the morning to try to bring a little bit of life to this face. Let me tell you something. If the Word of God is never speaking to you, God's Holy Spirit is seemingly not speaking to you, maybe it's because you've hardened your heart. Maybe you've gotten a hardened spirit. Maybe the reproofs of life, you become hardened to them that you just don't even listen anymore. You know, it's possible for you to start tuning out God, just like kids sometimes can start tuning out their parents. You've been corrected so many times, you've been reproved so many times that you stop listening, you start tuning it out. You don't even listen to what they have to say. You can do the same thing to God. You can do the same thing with God's Word. When you can start hardening your heart, you can start covering up your ears that you're not listening to God's Holy Spirit. You're not listening to God any longer. You don't want to be reproved. You don't want to be corrected. You're okay, or you're your own man, and you don't need to listen to God. Listen, if you harden your heart against God, you will never prosper. You will not have a blessed and happy Christian life. By not prosper, I don't mean you won't make money or something. You may find your own way to make money. There are people that God blesses with money. There are people that through their own means they make money too. Just having money is not a sign of God's blessing. That's a dead certainty. By prosper, I mean having a blessed life and a happy life and a good life. Listen, if you harden your heart, you won't prosper. If you harden your heart to reproof and correction, you will not prosper. Listen, I challenge you, whether you're a teenager here this morning, I challenge you whether you're a Christian this morning, whether you're 75 years old or 65 years old or 55 or 45, 35, 25, 15, however old you are, listen, don't ever harden your heart against God. Don't harden your heart against God's Word and the things that it says. Don't harden your heart towards a preacher. Don't harden your heart towards parents. The reproofs of life, we need them. They're meant to help us. They're for our good. If you harden your heart against God, or you harden your heart against authorities, you harden your heart against God's Word, you will not prosper. If you harden your heart against the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to seem like to you, why is God's Spirit just passing me by? Is God's Spirit not speaking to me? Why do I never get anything? Why does God never meet with me? Why does God never talk to me? It may just be that maybe you've hardened your heart, hardened your spirit, and you're not listening and you're not yielded. God has great power to work in our lives, but if we're not yielded and we're not listening, or we've hardened our hearts against Him, He cannot do the work in you that He wants to do. Look with me down at Job chapter 9, if you would, in verse number 20. Back in Job 9 and verse 2, it said, but how should a man, or how should man be just with God? How should man be made just or justified with God? May I say that the only way you can be made just with God is through putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people get the idea of, if I live my life working hard or doing these good works or following these religious rituals or do all these things or keep all these laws or do these things, then that's how I'll be just with God. That's how I'll please God. That's how I'll be made right with God. You will never be justified by your works of the flesh. You will never be justified by your trying to keep the law. You'll never be justified by any religious things you do or rituals or traditions or good works. We can never merit God's favor on our own. You will never be made just with God by your works. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you don't know God, may I say there's a God who wants you to be at peace with Him. Sin separates us from God. Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. If some of you have never heard of Adam and Eve, listen, that's the first man and the first woman that God ever created. They sinned in the Garden of Eden. Separation with God was broken. They immediately realized their sinfulness, and in their shame, they began to make a covering for themselves. They sewed fig leaves together, tried to cover for themselves, but God came along looking for Adam, wanting to speak with Adam like he'd done before. He comes walking in the cool of the garden, and he's crying out, Adam, Adam, where are you, Adam? Adam ends up saying that. Well, we've hidden ourselves. I'm ashamed. I'm naked. They had sinned. And God said, all those little feeble little jackets that you've made for yourselves, those aren't going to do. Those coverings you've made for yourself, they're not going to do. And God took an animal, shed the blood of that animal, and made for Adam and Eve coats of skins to cover them. See, their own attempt to cover themselves was insufficient, and so God had to make a covering for them. And right from that very first story in the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament, all the stories pointed to the fact that there's only one person that can cover our sins. There's only one person that can make a covering for our sin and our shame, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who died as the Lamb of God. And His blood was shed, why, to make a covering for our sin. We can be covered by the righteousness of Christ. We can be made just with God. Romans 5:1. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be justified with God. Let's look back here at Job chapter 9, in verse number 20. One of the things that we should realize more and more as we live life is that we've got to be honest with ourselves. This is something I have to deal with all the time in my own life, and to talk with my children about is just being honest. Being honest with ourselves. Because if we won't admit when we're wrong, we can't be corrected, we can't be blessed. If we won't be willing to take reproof or take correction, be honest and admit our wrong and admit our sin or admit when we've done something we shouldn't. Again, it's an area where we harden ourselves and we won't be blessed. What does it say here in Job 9 and verse 20? If I justify my own self, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. When you try to justify yourself by your words are actually condemning you. You understand that? If you try to justify yourselves by your words to say, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm not wrong, I didn't do anything, I don't do anything wrong. If you try to justify yourself, you're actually condemning yourself. Let me show you why. Keep your place there, but turn over to 1 John chapter 1. Just towards the very end of your Bible, 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. I hope when you go home and read your Bible this week, God will speak to you. You know, God's word is so alive and so powerful that you may read it and God may share with you different things than He shared with me. God's Holy Spirit may speak to you about things in your life that you need God to speak to you about in your life, but God should be speaking to you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. Here's why. Here's the reason why we may sometimes try to justify ourselves with our words, but we're actually condemning ourselves in doing so. 1 John 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful and just, right? He'll justify us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. If we try to justify ourselves, Job 9 and verse 20, then our own mouth, our own lips, our own words are actually condemning us. If I say, Job 9 and verse 20, if I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse, that I'm a liar. I'm a liar. Not only have I sinned, but now I try to lie about it and I try to deceive myself into saying that I'm better than what I really am. We need Christians to be honest with themselves. Honest about our sin. Honest about when our relationship with God is not what it ought to be. Honest about when our fellowship with God is not what it ought to be. When there's things in our life that need to be changed, things that need to be made right. Job 9 and verse 21 says, though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. Though we are imperfect sinners, we can still have a perfect heart if we are honest with God. Did you hear that statement? Though we are imperfect sinners, we can still have a perfect heart, a heart that is right towards God and right with God, if we will be honest with God about our sin, honest with God about ourselves. In 1 Kings 8 and verse 61, it says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as it is this day. Your heart can only be perfect with the Lord if you'll be honest with yourself. Do we keep all of God's laws and commandments perfectly? No, we don't. Are we imperfect sinners? Yes, we are. But do you know that I can keep my heart perfect and pure towards God and right with God if I'll be honest with Him? That as I read the scriptures or as I hear the word of God preached and taught, as I read the Bible at home and do my devotions and I learn things or God's Spirit begins to work in me and He's trying to convict me and speak to me about things, and I'll be honest with God about my sinfulness and I'll make things right with Him in my heart, I can have a perfect, pure heart. I can walk in the light. I can walk in close fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, if you read the whole chapter, I can walk in close fellowship with God every day. Even though I'm an imperfect sinner, I can have a perfect heart and a heart that's right with God if I'll be honest with God when I sin, and I'll admit it when I do wrong, and I'll ask God's forgiveness. Hey, how is that playing out in your life? Are you honest with God about your sins, or do you always deny it? Do you harden your heart? Do you pretend to be better than what you are? Do you try to make God... Listen, God knows what you are. We might as well be honest with Him. What about young people with your parents? Do you harden your heart? Do you get an attitude with them? When they try to reprove you or correct you, do you always deny it? Do you always make excuses? Why not just be honest, so that you can walk in close fellowship with your parents and have a perfect heart towards them and everything be right in that relationship? If you want to have a hard heart, if you want to just lie to yourself or lie to God, if you're just going to try to always justify yourself or make excuses for your actions, listen, then you'll be wrong. You won't be in close fellowship. You will not prosper in your life. But if you'll be honest with God, let your heart be yielded. Let your heart be broken. Be honest with God about your sin and about yourself. You can have a clean heart. Why does the Bible in the New Testament, talking about David, talk about a man after God's own heart? But what about some of the sins that King David committed? Well, you know why he could still have be a man after God's own heart? Because after he sinned, and as he was convicted, and as God's Spirit worked in him, and as the prophet pointed a finger at him, he was willing to get his heart right with God. Psalm 51. Write it down. Read the chapter when you go home. Listen, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wash me. Purge me, he says. Listen, the reason why David could have a perfect heart, the only reason why you can have a perfect heart and be in close fellowship with the Lord, is if you'll be honest with yourselves. Don't let yourself be hardened. Don't get a hard heart or a hard spirit. Be honest with God. And as God's word speaks to you and as God's Spirit tries to speak to you, be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Because though you and me may be imperfect sinners, we can have a perfect heart. If We won't sit there justifying ourselves or making excuses or denying things or acting like we're perfect or try, but just be honest with God. Be honest with God. That's all God's looking for. He knows we're sinful people and He wants brokenness. He wants humility. He wants Christians who repent, who are honest with Him about their sin and just get your heart right with God. And you can walk in perfect fellowship. You can be blessed. You can have a life that God will prosper. But it's going to have to start with honesty. Honesty. I pray that God's Spirit will speak to you and challenge you. Every time you read God's Word. Every time you come to church, could you say, pass me not, God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, while to others you're speaking, while to others you're doing something in them. Listen, do something in me, God. Do something in me, Holy Spirit. Change me, convict me, comfort me, strengthen me, help me. Be honest with God. But the condition of your heart, the condition of your life. Because you can't have a perfect heart and you can walk in fellowship with the Lord like He really wants. You can't have a life of that prospers and that's blessed. But you can't harden your heart. You've got to be honest with God. You've got to walk in a close fellowship with Him where the relationship is honest. Where the relationships break down in life. People stop being honest. People are hiding things and people are denying things. Be honest in your relationship with God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to convict us and speak to us, challenge us. Help us to be ones who long for God's presence. And we long for you, God, not just to pass us by, but to speak to us every time we come to church. We long for you to speak to us every time we read your word. God, help some Christians to let their life, let their devotions, let their coming to church be changed into something of just with an open heart and an open mind and a eagerness and a readiness and a willingness to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And a willingness and faith to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm listening to you. God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want to know I've been in your presence. I want to know you've met with me. As you read God's word, do not harden your heart against Him. When you sin, be honest with God. Don't justify yourself. Don't make excuses. Just be honest with God. And if we confess our sins, we know He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We can be justified. We can be forgiven. We can have a perfect heart even though we're imperfect sinners. But we know it comes, God, from letting You work in us, us listening to You, us being yielded to You. Help us, God, please.